نام رسوئی ہاں The 20th chapter of the book of the Exodus. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. A 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that the destroyer may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where thou was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus as thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen, for I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. And over the earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy heel upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up thy steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereof. May the Lord bless to us the reading of that part of his word. Hymn number 640. Magnificent his cry and his majesty and power, nevertheless there was still in the memory of his people the fact that that God, who was the holier God with his Lord did declare, was nevertheless a God who had been unto them already a God of grace. What a mercy it is, my friend, that when some of the most solemn applications of the word of God's holy law is applied to the conscience of a sinner, the Lord has not left them without some evidence of the fact that he has been gracious unto them. If we have faith to see heart and eyes to see, heart to understand by faith, the goodness of the Lord toward us over the many years of our life, we shall have to say, yes, he is indeed a holy God. How in justice he can manifest favor to a sinner such as myself, I cannot truly understand. But nevertheless, this has been the fact. The Lord has been gracious unto me. And now the time has come when these people are standing before that place where the Lord will make this revelation of his holiness to them, and also where he will go on to more fully proclaim his mind and purpose for them, give them certain regulations with regard to their national affairs, with regard to their personal affairs, tell them how they can live and how they can behave before their God, what should be their relationship, the one to the other. This was regulated not by human wisdom, but by the divine will. They have not left themselves afraid of their national constitution, but this was already framed for them by God and by his word. And therefore, friends, we realize what a significance played it was in the history of the children of Israel when at last they stood before the mount of the Lord at Mount Sinai. But I will have you remember that there was a certain restriction that was placed upon these people when they drew near to that mount. The Lord ordered Moses that he should proclaim to them that they were not to touch the mountain. Not even an animal was to come near to it or touch the mountain. If an animal in its ignorance, its lack of the knowledge of God's will, should wander near to the mountain, it was to be immediately passed through a stone, and there the animal was to be killed. Here was the declaration of the holiness of God, the unapproachable holiness of God, that unless there be a right mediation, no sinner upon this earth, no person, no being, under the curse of God, which even ran to the animal creation of the world, could draw near to that mountain of holy revelation of the greatness of God. But now I want to notice, friends, that in the world of the next, there is a provision made for those in the wilderness. I hope that we may not despise these few verses at the conclusion of the 20th chapter of the Exodus. I'm quite sure, friends, that the many worthy sinners who stood before that mountain, and there the consciousness of their guilt was deepened by a very display of the holiness and majesty of Jehovah, and the preventing words that the Lord had proclaimed upon them, I am quite sure that there must have been many there who highly esteemed this provision that God made, that there should be an altar that for the first time should be reared under this terrible mountain, this place of the display of God's power, of his holiness, but also there should be a declaration of his mercy. Now I want us to notice, friend, the suitability of the provision that is made for this people. The Lord says, the altar of thou shalt make unto thee, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen, in all places where I recall thy name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless it. I want you to notice, friends, that the approach of God towards sinners, and the blessing of God upon sinners, is here bound up with the provision of an altar and the provision of a sacrifice. We might well ask ourselves the question this morning, to what degree do we esteem the provision of an altar by God? What is our estimation of the sacrifice that God has ordained for guilty men and women? The sacrifice is only a son, the one who is both a burnt offering and also a peace offering to his people. A sacrifice that speaks of our sin and of its guilt and its need of expiation. for the sacrifice also that speaks about the peace that is made between God and the outrageous sinner who is so far off from him and knows his powerlessness, and there he is made nigh by means of this peace offering, even by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, friends, that the provision of the altar and of the sacrifice is so simple that we make an altar on earth. For heathens, of course, used to have some fond and foolish idea that the higher they made their altars, the nearer they might be to their God. And consequently, they would pick out the high places in the country. And there upon it, my friends, they would hew out their stones and they would build magnificent altars. And there the priests would offer the sacrifices to their idol gods, thinking that by the very height of the ages, there would be some approaching unto God. But the Lord says, no, that is not my mind. I will have you made an altar earth. In other places, wherever thou art, there shall never be a condition that will obtain among you when there can be no altar that can be made, upon which a sacrifice can be offered, can be laid and offered, that there can be acceptable unto God. Even if you should be in a place where there is no stone, where it is impossible to get them, you are travelling through the desert, all you can do, perhaps, is just to gather a mound of sand together as you go along, but no less, that shall be an altar of earth unto your God. And there I will come down, even where my aim is laid, and I will rest thee there. Friends, it spoke to my heart last night, and these words were brought home to my spirit of the suitability of a precious Christ to our needs. And the approachability of God through Jesus Christ on the part of worshipers. There is a theme that always has delighted my soul, and that is, my friends, the approachability of God through Jesus Christ by a poor sinner. Oh, the Lord is willing for poor sinners to draw near to him. And there he has provided one friend that has come down just where we are, that has taken our own condition upon himself to accept it, that has known the human plight that is very man, who can sympathize with his people in their distress, and can bear their afflictions with them, and can bear their guilt and their sins, and expiate it by the offering of himself. He is very God, but also he is very man. And he is man the suffer, and he is God the son. Thou shalt make an altar of earth. And there, wherever thou art, at a distance you may feel to be, perhaps from some holy place, some particular place where an ark or a candlestick or something else may be found that is my ordination. Nevertheless, if thou shalt make an altar of earth, and there my name shall be named upon it, then I will be there to bless thee and to answer thy supplication. Oh, friend, what a mercy this was to you. I dare say there are some of those crowds or the people among them who thought to themselves, well, what an insignificant thing this altar is. You see, it's only just earth. And when we were in Egypt, the magnificence of the temples, and the magnificence of the altars, and the magnificence of the garb of the priest, and our priests only just simply wear white robes and so on, oh, what a contrast there is between. Says the Lord, mark the contrast, let it sink down into your life. I'm a God that draws near to sinners than I need me to. I'm a God that humbles myself even to their lost and ruined condition. I'm a God who humbles myself even unto the death of the cross for them. Now, friends, proud man cannot see anything beautiful, anything lovely in Christ and in the offering he made for himself. But oh, if you and I have thought of the Spirit of God, the nature of the ruins that sinners brought us unto, when we can magnify the name of our God, he providing our world. Oh, we have to say, how suitable is the person of our very Emmanuel, and how suitable is his work, and how suitable is his blood, and how suitable is his righteousness, how suitable is his death, and how suitable is his resurrection, and how suitable is his position into life before the Father, pleading to me, a man who knows not how to pray. Oh, the suitability of a precious Christ in the need of sin. Is that my friend, how we come here this morning, thanking God for the revelation that he's made of himself in through his own being and unsung, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to just continue this thought for a moment. The suitability, friend, of this, the suitability of this little heap of earth, this altar of earth that should be made, upon which sacrifice should be made. But the Lord goes on to say, and if thou wilt make the altar of sand, what do you say? Thy alternative. Why should there ever be an altar of stone? If the Lord is willing to just have a heap of earth and upon that the sacrifice should be laid, and there the acceptance of the one who offers the sacrifice, that they make mention of the name of the Lord, and he will come down and bless them there according to his promise. What is the need of making a provision for an altar of rock or stone? Well, friends, there are some places where I've been, you know, within a yard to a made an altar of earth.
There's something very nigh at hand that can be made in the world.
that you mustn't mix human effort with it. You mustn't mix human labour with it. You mustn't make it just simply appeal to the eye. The purpose of God's grace is to deal with it with the soul of the heart, the inward things of man. This is the admiration which is expressed for some ornamentation of religion. But my friend, it's the desire that goes out of the clinging soul toward the precious cross. It's the cry of the hungry that says, give me Christ or else I die. Is that where you are, my friend? That's where you are. That's the work, my friend, for an altar that is a God who has given God's provision, that has not at all the handiwork of man upon it, but provided absolutely entirely by God's grace for sinners. Altar or an altar stone, but oh, let not any human tool be raised upon this matter. It is God ordained and God granted, the sanctifying that should be on it is not to be outside of the regulations laid down by God. Oh, the seat of it, of Jesus Christ, you know, we have denied him, not the power. I don't know whether somebody at this chance is going to feel the ever so far off from God. But oh, my friend, I assure you of this, that if you possess a good penny to broken-hearted spirit, you would cry to God for his mercy. And your God isn't very far off from you. He's nigh at hand. That's the very meaning of the incarnation of the Son of God, my friend. That's why the Son of God put human flesh to his birth. That is why we can speak of him as a brother born for the day of adversity. That's why we declare that he's the righteous man. Oh, my friend, he's within reach of God and he's within reach of man. And when he can lay his hand upon the divine and he can lay his hand upon the human, and in his own person reconcile those two that otherwise would have been completely reconciled. Oh, thank God, and that's it. We hold this place, believe in Jesus Christ, forgive me, and you can say, he is not a man, and not a man. Oh, says the Lord, it is where I have not been, where an everlasting love, and therefore, will not be kind of my Lord. But you say, there's so many barriers in the Bible, and there's all that lightning and that thundering. There's all that conviction of my sin, there's all that burden of guilt upon my conscience. That will come as a God, Lord, I ring in my conscience, and I've got no answer to them. And our friends, it must have been a terrifying time, a pain, and for the children of Israel as they stood the day of the land. But I want you to remember this thing, that outward terrors, and outward disprise of mighty divine power, do not of themselves bring an end of repentance. We need something more than that. Lord, and terror will the pardon. All the time they work alone, and a sense of love or pardon will dissolve the heart of stone. The mere physical things that men touch, the mere display of outward circumstances that of course accompany the declaration of the glory of God, those things of themselves do not convince a man of sin or lay it low in the dust before his God. Will you prove of it, then? Here it is, but still before that, and he had a stone or thrust through in a dark some of their cattle there. You know, their cattle were great. They're so precious about that. They had to kill it because the cattle were fonder than the mountain. There in the emblem of the mountain, that passed over a place, and that trespass in their hand to do. And all this had a tremendous impression upon them after. But you know, they know his days are belonging now. Days are belonging now. They can't belong to this. It's good to be lying. All the extra power may come to us. No way, sorry, well, something happened, maybe you got lost or something like that. Maybe, of course, well, you've been fooled with the least on this now. And so the best thing we can do is to make a lot of you those of us. Remember what I've been reading to you this morning. All things are serious proclamation of the Lord of God. We start to make a life to bow down to worship. There, friends, on the third act, times against God. But this people have seen the wonders of this upon Mount Sinai. It's a knife, a calf, and there to bow down before it. Even my friend, those who are further in the ways of heaven make themselves naked in their religious worship of their God. That's not the reason to do. To adopt, my friend, those cultures that would be sensual to be and couple them worship of their God. That's why the reason for it. on the far extreme against being good. My dear friends, there's only one that can arrest the chief. Only one. Oh, the fact that looking at great wonder is sufficient. Nothing. You are leaving the world of falling to guide me right and bring me to what I mean, Lord, in my very soul, in my very heart. Oh, let me only hear a word in my ear. I spoke to you about that thing last week here. Those people, my friends, who only heard the word of Jesus Christ in the ear, and then they would have cast the ground to the head. Lord, let me only hear a word in the ear. Let me not only look upon some grand and magnificent word, stranger than thine authority and majesty. But Lord, cause thy word to be written upon the flesh and tablets in my heart, that they may abide there, and make me willing to lay thy power, I can say to thy servant David, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. A demonstration, my faithful prayer, that is flying God, majesty and holiness, with the coming in of his holy God to convince us of, that it allow me to be the work of every unholy thing. Thou shalt make an altar verse, thou shalt make unto me and shalt sanctify Sarah and thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy own. Then, what's the word? In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. In all places where I record my name. You know, friends, that's what made the claim of God. He said, only pray before I hold a hand, but it made me pray this morning. In all places where I recall my name, I will come unto you and bless you. He doesn't say, you're my friend, in all places where thou dost recall my name, I will come in and bless you. But where I recall my name, I will come and bless you. My friend, it is this place, it is this gathering this morning of God or of man. Has the Lord brought us here? Has it been my faith consistent with that word of dear old Jacob when he said, unto him shall the gathering of the people be? Is it the creature's will or is it the divine constraint? Why do we come? Why do we worship? Why do we take the audience in our hands? Why do we present the evil brother? Is it because my friends are some power of God has been upon us? Is it because the name of the Lord has been written in our conscience and in our heart by divine grace? Is that the reason why we do it? Nothing else will do, then. Oh, this is the most extensive, the word of most extensive application. In all places where I recall my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. I will bless thee. You know, I believe some of you friends have been blessed in strange places, and yet the Lord has recorded his name to you. He's recorded his name upon you. He's recorded his name in some of the experiences to which you are. You and I bet he's taken some people into hospital and there he's recorded his name upon them and in them. He's taken some people to prison and he's recorded his name upon them and in them there. He's taken some people into far distant parts of the earth for his dear namesake and they've been opposed by all kinds of afflicted circumstances and he's recorded his name there and he's blessed them there. When he's reading the Bible, John Dee Clayton, a year or two ago, there, my friend, that dear man, he went down to the little islands, you know, to the sea. While he was there, he lost his child. Little baby, lost his wife. Did do it. Yet, friend, the Lord took him there to recall the name of the Lord. I will bless you there. He was going to lose his mind. Some of the women did lose their mind. Many of those, my friends, who were the neighbors of that path, will be brought upon by divine grace, they did lose their lives for Jesus Christ's sake. But all he recorded his name then, he blessed him. You think, my friend, you were one, a person who had gone to Canada Island, Canada Country, where inevitably they would have lost their life after the great grace of God. As a result of the preaching of the gospel, blessed those of the Holy Ghost over a few years, those very Canada would take persons who have been shipwrecked on the shore, they would care for them and nurture them, and show them all kinds of love, and seek to restore them health and strength again, and
to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Whatsoever place thou shalt be, wherever thou shalt go, and I shall know my name by the divine power, wherever I be.
Look at those powers there. If I know my good name and my dear son upon some poor sinner, I'll bless that sinner. I'm not going to praise the name of my dear son. I'll bless them there, I'll bless them there. As I made my son precious to their souls, I'll go on to bless them there. And sinner, you can say this morning, Jesus is precious to me. Well, I know you'll sing Jesus precious, says the Lord, but I'll come with us as good as Lord, holy man. But if you can go on my head just a step further, now you will say, Jesus is really precious to me. Well then, friends, there will be no good thing that he will withhold from you. A man, a woman, that has been brought uprightly before God in your confession of the fact that Jesus Christ has been made exceedingly precious to you. Oh, what a mercy, my son. Ah, lovely word this morning, friends, in all places where I recall my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. And so, friends, as I came here this morning, Lord, know that in my heart there is this desire, Lord, come. Nothing else will do but thy Holy Spirit, friend. Come, Lord, this morning, and recall my name. Recall my name. Let everything else be done there, all our consideration be done there. Let everything else that has picked in my mind be done there. With all my prayer thoughts, and all my anger, and all my opposition to this or the other, let it all be turned out, Lord. That thy name may be named upon it. And in this place, and upon this people, and that we may know it continue blessing of thy name. In all the places where I recall my name, I will be with thee and I will bless thee. I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. You will learn the things that, you know, characters such as they were. The Lord should choose to recall his name upon that person in that place. There is Paul going out with threatening the slaughter of any of the people of God. Gets down to go to the mass. There, the Lord recalls his name upon that man and to that man. Who art thou, Lord? Says, poor Saul of Tarsus, who turns upon the falls to the ground, blinded by the majesty of God. Ah, says the Lord, now I'm going to name my name upon this man. Now I'm going to recall my name in his heart. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to be against the Lord. Lord, what will thou have? A lie is a lie, a lie is a lie. Oh, my dear friend, that very lie that would have torn Christians to pieces is now man. Loves Christ, believes in Christ, and loves Christ. He's a man who will love him greatly, will do anything possible for him. Yet even beyond his own strength, receive grace from God, be able to serve the church of Christ right down to his dying day. Ah, said the Lord, he is. In all places where I recall my name, I will come to thee, and I will bless thee. Lord, thank the blessing that that man is in. Following the recalling of the name of the Lord upon the blessing he is in. Oh, go with him through his journey. You say, oh, what afflictions he had. Read the chapter that speak about his stripes and his shipwrecks and all the trouble that came upon him. And I look my way, put the compensating blessings over against the afflictions. What will he say? We know that all things work together for good for them who love God. Where the name of the Lord has been named upon, there can be nothing that will harm him. I persuade neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature can separate me from the love of God. There's nothing to be compared with that. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He named his name upon me. Thanks be to God he has. Thanks be to God, he has accounted me worthy to bear that name, and to bear sufferings for that dear name's sake as well. If thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it a piece of stone, but thou wilt cut thy shoe upon it, thou hast built it. So, friends, this morning as I close, I just want to say this. It is my hope that you may look away from that. Look away from that. You may look away to your God. There you may beg of God the Father that he may send his Holy Spirit in our hearts and upon us. Holy Ghost may know that no human Jesus Christ. He may record it in our conscience, in our heart. May we record it with all the power over our view of the outcome of this daily prayer that we should know it. But the Lord has not only initially blessed us in naming that name upon, but he will go on still to bless us for the sake of that one who bears that name that is written upon the fleshy bandage. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Hymn number 57.
Thank you.